Welcome to the Saver F&B podcast. We're going to do some more FAQs today. And again, as we get this thing rolling out, we're probably going to do quite a few FAQs just to get me a little bit more used to recording and talking to the camera, right? It's going to be a little bit to get used to that. And I'm developing new systems within my business. So I'm looking at adding another office person, and that person's primarily duty will be sales, not so much just customer service, but actually being able to close the deal. Being 5 years in, now we have a good amount of questions that we get asked a lot just by prospective clients. And so we're going to go through that today. And I'm going to go through and I'm going to kind of build a cheat sheet for the person that I'm going to hire. And in doing that, I thought it would be a good idea to make a podcast about it or make a video, because I'm sure there's a lot of other caterers or just people in the service industry that have something to sell. They probably get a lot of the same questions. So we're going to dive right in. And this is one of our biggest questions, just because a lot of people that come in and get our caterings, this a lot of times this is their first time they're actually going to use catering, right? A lot of people typically aren't getting catering on a regular basis unless they're a little older, or you know, maybe they're just into this world. But a lot of time people's first experience with catering is a wedding, or you know, some other big celebration that you know brings on a lot of people. And typically people aren't used to seeing what a bill will look like for 50, 100, 200 people. So a lot of times when they get that first initial proposal, they're like, whoa. So the first question that we get quite a bit is when we send out a proposal, everybody likes to ask what the service charges for. And I know that seeing my competitors, seeing their proposals, I know that it's industry standard. Everybody seems to have a service charge out there. Some people have service charge and gratuity. Our service charge is not gratuity. And like I mentioned before in one of my other videos, that gratuity is completely at the discretion of the customer. So service charge for us, and full disclosure, we charge 18% on everything that we do. Service charge for us is going to cover everything outside of that, the time of your event. Right. So you book an event, whether it's a wedding or a birthday party or an anniversary. Let's say you book that out 6 months from now or farther out. The service charge is going to cover everything leading up to that event. So all the time you're spending talking with staff, all the planning, how much we have to, you know, get your proposals together and make modifications, and talk to your wedding planners, talk to rental companies, you know, interior for what we do is, you know, we'll figure out like game plans for properties. I know a lot of properties we go to quite a bit, so we kind of know the gist of it, but you know, a lot of times it's just us trying to figure out the best way to handle the specific place that we're going to be catering that day. And then, you know, getting closer to the event, it's making sure that we have your event properly staffed. Making sure that the rentals are put in, you know, enough ahead of time before we actually, so we don't lose the rentals. So we only like to go through certain rental companies. We don't want to sacrifice the people that we like working with and go with other people. So, you know, all of this stuff takes time. And, you know, we charge basically just when our staff's on site, and that's what we're charging you for. But even still, if your party's, you know, let's say it's a Saturday, a lot of weddings are Saturday, a lot of times we start prepping even, you know, Thursday, Friday on busy weeks. We're prepping all week, depending on how many events we have going out that weekend. So there's all these labor hours and ordering and cooking, and there's all of this stuff that comes into play that's outside of the time of your event. And that's what that service charge is paying for. You know, we have vehicles and insurances and getting our stuff cleaned and maintenanced. And there's just a lot of moving parts when it comes to catering. And that service charge is exactly what that's for. So while you're paying for mostly throughout the rest of the menu, you're paying for your rentals and your food and your staff hours on site, there's a ton of work that goes into it depending on your event, you know, leading up to it. And that's what that service charge covers. So obviously we were still going to get the question, and we absolutely like being able to have a solid answer of what that's for. I know that there's other companies out there that maybe don't add their service charge on until the end, and then that can be a problem in itself. So ours is right up front. You see it, and we do explain it in the terms and condition from that first proposal. It does explain a lot of these questions, actually, but sometimes people just want to know the reassurance on what they're spending their money on, and sometimes it is quite a bit of money. But just rest assured, it's not going nowhere. It's not a jab at anything. There's just a lot that goes into what we do. We have staff here 5 days a week, you know, sometimes 7 days a week during season, and, you know, if the clients are paying for their time of the event, there's all those those times not at the event where staff is available and they're there for you and they're emailing you back and that's what that's for. So other people might have a lower service charge. Other people might not be as accessible. You know, we want to be here for you 5 days a week, at least in the planning process, even for quick questions. And, you know, with that is going to come associated costs. So, that's the service charge. And another question is once we get in the proposal process, a lot of clients will see how much staff we have on. And then their question is, well, do we need this much staff? And really it just boils down to, do you want to have a smooth event or not? We want to have a smooth event. We want to make sure trash is picked up. We want to make sure that your kitchens are cleaned and venues are left clean and there's plenty of people to pass around hors d'oeuvres. We want to make sure that if it's a plated meal that you're not waiting an hour to get served. We want to make sure that the event is just that and it's smooth and there's nothing to worry about. So for that, we don't really, the staff from our point of view is not, I guess, subject for discretion or subject for negotiation, just because we know how much we need on site. And if we were to sacrifice that, then it would just ultimately sacrifice on service. And that's just not something that we're prepared to do. And depending on what you get is going to depend on the staff that you need. The more people you have, clearly the more staff you're going to need. If you have a plated dinner, well, you're going to need more people than if you were to have just a buffet. As far as cleanup goes, it's the same, but actually getting the food onto the tables requires quite a bit more staff, unless you want to wait 45 minutes to an hour for your food, which we don't want that. So it comes down to the amount of service we want to give you, and we want to give you ease of mind. And for us to give you that, we have to have a certain amount of bodies on site, and that's just what it is. And, you know, that's how we've gotten to where we are right now. And we offer that stability in what we do. Our reviews say it. You can look at our reviews. We never want to open up ourselves to be understaffed and stressing everybody out and maybe not get set up in time and maybe leave things a mess. It's just not in our playbook. We like to run things a certain way, and that just means we need people to do it. So next on the list is, how much are food tastings? So I think I touched on this a little bit before. This is a really simple one. Most people don't get tastings. A lot of weddings do, but outside of weddings, a lot of people don't get tastings. And what we charge $95 a person. And for that $95 a person, you're getting your entire proposal that you got. So all your hors d'oeuvres, salad, if you're doing a dual entree, you're getting everything, actual proportions. You're not just getting small little bites. You're getting everything as you would on the day of your event. And then you're also getting one-on-one time with the chef and someone to go through your proposal. So after you get through your experience and after you get through all the food, we'll sit down with you at the end. We'll go through your whole invoice and proposal top to bottom. If there's any questions that you have, if there's any modifications that you want to do, that's a perfect time to go through that. And it's also just a good time to catch up and see where you're at in your planning process for your event anyways. So $95 a person, and you get your one-on-one time with a chef, and we go through your invoice line by line to make sure there's no questions about anything at that time. Next question we get a lot is, do you have food packages or do we only do a la carte? So food packages, it's really up to you. So we have food packages for events of 40 or more, mostly just to keep things easier on the kitchen and keep menus tried and true, if that makes sense. So, you know, if we have 6 or 8 events in the week and everybody chooses a different menu and everybody has a la carte items, you know, it can stress the kitchen out a little bit more. You know, things maybe don't get made as much as before. And, you know, not to say that it's going to be bad or anything, but it just makes things a little bit more smooth when we're running off of like a few menu packages. So we actually added a few more on this last year. So we have, you know, an Asian package, barbecue package. We have a classy menu package that's going to be, you know, a lot of our specialties and stuff that you would already find at like a wedding. We also have Italian. We were getting asked for that a lot. So I put together an Italian package as well. And, you know, these things can be modified. You can go full a la carte. You can go full custom. But for us booking, it makes it a lot easier. There's still tons of options. It's not like, you know, there's only 2 options on the Asian package. And no, each package has quite a bit of options as far as proteins and sides and hors d'oeuvres go. We don't mind if you get the entrees from one package and the appetizers for another. It happens all the time. But as far as like mixing up actual items on that package, we would then bill you a la carte just because if it's custom, if you're asking for a custom menu, we're going to build you a custom menu. So there are loopholes and stuff people try, you know, to modify, but for us, it's just easier for our procedures and it's easier for the planning process too. So just say these things work. This is how it's the payment structured. You don't have to do a million proposals to figure out what the budget's going to be. You know, off of that, like if you know which package you kind of want to go with, but you don't know which items, even from that first proposal, you're going to have a really good ballpark of what the event's going to cost, even if you were to change a couple things around in that package. So it's either or. So we absolutely have packages and you can order a la carte or get as custom as you want. Totally up to you. Not a big deal. How much does it cost for children's meals? So at the time we're making this video, we haven't really modified our children's menu in forever just because they're kids and kids always love the same things. So our particular children's menu that we offer is chicken strips, mac and cheese, and fresh fruit. Now, can you get something else? Of course. But if you say, hey, we got 10 kids, we're just going to put a kid's menu and that's what it's always going to be. And in our children's menus, we charge $15 a person. So not a lot. And then actually leads into our next question is we offer vendor meals. Now, vendor meals is really important when you're doing your wedding or event, because a lot of the photographers, DJs, those people are there, you know, pretty far ahead of time. They don't really get a dinner break. And if they do, they want to be fed. We always want to make our vendors happy. We love it when vendors are excited that we're on site because, you know, they like our food and they like hanging out with us. So we charge $15 a person for the vendor meals as well. And really that's just to, you know, cover a little bit of the cost of the food without giving something away for free. And we just want to take care of our vendors and make sure that they're happy. Now, our staff are excluded from that. So we would never charge a customer vendor meal fees for our staff on site. We cover that. We would never pass that on to the customer. This is more for like your photographers, wedding planners, DJs, those kind of people that are going to be around all day taking care of you and making sure your event's going smooth. We want to make sure they get fed. So $15 and, we'll make sure, and they always eat the same food as everybody else. They're not going to get like some like grilled cheese or peanut butter and jelly or something. I hear these crazy stories that other people or hotels given like an apple and peanut butter. No, it's not what we do. We give them the same food everybody else gets and, everybody's very happy and they want to make sure your event's going smooth. So we don't want to take care of them. Next is, do we move chairs? Example. Bringing from ceremony to dinner. So in the past, when I've worked for other catering companies, it's kind of a toss up on who wants to do that. And essentially what it boils down to is customer might not have the budget if it's like an outdoor wedding or the ceremony is going to be in another place than dinner is, that maybe the couple's budget doesn't isn't enough to get ceremony chairs or pews and get dinner chairs. In the past, it was pretty common to just move the chairs from the ceremony area to the dining room. In the first couple of years, there was a lot of kind of back and forth and not being clear and unspoken expectations that the caterer can just do this stuff. But depending on the size of your wedding, to pull staff away, because remember, at the end of the ceremony, we're going right into cocktail hour. So that means people are going to be out there clearing. There's going to be bartenders serving drinks. There's going to be staff passing hors d'oeuvres. So essentially, without adding more staff, it would be hard to say, yeah, we're going to take staff away to move these 100, 150 chairs from ceremony site to dinner, depending on how far that was. So what we ultimately decided over the last couple of years is that we just aren't going to do it. And it's not because of anything else other than they're not our rentals. We didn't rent them out, and they come from a third party, and the catering staff is more than happy to help out when possible. But our first and only priority is making sure that the event stays clean, that everybody's fed, that things are happening on time as they should. And those are our main focuses. If there's time and it's a small wedding, of course we're going to help. I'm never going to have staff just standing around watching people work. That's never going to be the case. But the expectation should be, if a rental company provided blank, then the rental company should be responsible for moving blank. So whether it's chairs, or I've seen arches moved or tables moved, to assume that the caterer is going to do that, I would not. You're just going to put the caterer in a weird position where they want to please you, but then it might put them behind on you maybe getting something set up or not serving the rest of your guests because it wasn't planned far enough ahead. So I would get together with your rental company, and I would get together with your planner or maybe the venue, and get some sort of plan. If that's the way you want to do it and you want to move chairs, you can absolutely do that. If your budget, is okay, and you feel like you can't afford to just get two sets. You don't have to get matching sets. You can have, white padded or mahogany padded chairs for ceremony, and you can have nice shafari chairs, or white padded for dinner. It's completely up to you. There are a ton of options out there. And if you have questions throughout your whole process, even if it's not necessarily with what we're offering, just let us know. We do a ton of weddings a year. I've been doing weddings for almost 10 years now. My staff, we're all very versed in this. So even if it's not something that we provide, we can at least point you in the right direction, or at least tell you which questions to ask your other vendors that aren't, that's not under our scope. So for example, as far as chairs being moved, don't expect it. It never hurts to ask. If it's a smaller wedding, big deal, but definitely don't put an unspoken expectation on one of your vendors. We all are always adamant on letting people know that if it's not on our BEO or it's not on our invoice, it can't be expected to be our responsibility. And I know that sometimes that might sound bad, but there's a lot of different people involved when doing these events. So mostly just has to be with getting that information in a timely manner and making sure that everybody's on the same page before the day of your event. We have notes. If there's something that is out of the scope that we agree to, we have a note section on the bottom of our invoice and on the bottom of our BEOs for our staff. And, those things will, we're happy to help out, just as long as we know going in. The worst thing is getting a good flow going and then, having something thrown in randomly that's going to put us out for 15 or 20 minutes when every step of the way is calculated. So, all right. Next question we get a lot from staff from our clients when they're booking is, what is our payment policy? Now, our payment policy is to book 50% down. And what that does is it makes a commitment between the both of us that I'm not going to book over your event and you have some sort of commitment and you're not going to just cancel your event. So 50% down, the rest of it's due 2 weeks out. Anything booked 2 weeks or sooner to the event, which it happens all the time, but it's mostly for like smaller stuff, but anything booked 14 days closer to the, or closer to the event must be paid in full to get that confirmation. And just to make sure there's no gray area or miscommunications, reaching out and saying, "Hey, I'm gonna book you," or "Hey, I put the check in the mail," or "Hey, we plan on paying you." That's great, but your event does not get booked until payment has been made. So if you're worried someone's going to take your date, if you're worried, you know, it's especially like November's a crazy month, is like the first busy month. There's some days on there where we'll have 10 proposals on. So if you're worried, just ask, say, how many proposals do you have on that date? Are we at a risk for someone booking over? And if you want to pay a little bit just to like hold the date, we're absolutely open to that. But just know that the actual confirmation for your event comes with the 50% deposit. So that's our payment policy. Is tip included in the price is another big question we get. Like I said before, when we were talking about the service charge, tip is at the discretion of you guys. Tip is at the discretion of the client. We don't want to impose a tip on a, you know, $10,000 catering and say that this is what you should pay. You should absolutely pay what you're more comfortable with. Staff, it's a lot easier to give cash than it is to put it in, at least bookkeeping wise, than paying over. Of course, we still can figure it out. It's not a big deal. What we like to say is if you can tip, like, and if you want to write, if you insist on writing a check, that's fine. If you could write an additional check on top of it, it just makes bookkeeping a lot easier. And plus you can write like, this is specifically tips for this event. And then it's memoed on the check. And now there's not going to be any, you know, not like we would do it, but there are companies out there that maybe would withhold tips. You know, it's really easy to just write the check, say this is for tips, and then when they memo it in their bank, all the banks now take pictures. So it's not going to be any gray area that that was tips for that event. So it's at the discretion of the client. Of course, if you wanted to put a tip on credit card, we can build it into the invoice as well. It's not as common, but we can do that. But as far as tipping, it's not mandatory, but it absolutely is. You know, the staff works hard, right? You don't want to show their appreciation, you know, and it just tip what you feel is comfortable and fair. And, you know, it's always a weird, sensitive subject when you're talking about money. So I just don't feel comfortable telling people, you know, that you have to pay this percentage or you have, it just doesn't sit right with me. So if the staff does a great job, give them a great tip. That's, you know, that's the moral of the story. All right. So another question we get from clients is, what's your refund cancellation policy? So refund cancellation policy for us is we have a 3-tier step down program. And I know that I touched on this on the last video, when the hurricane came through, specifically just for the hurricane, I made a short video on our refund status. So if you are 100% not going to go through with your event, then the refund policy is there's a small, like couple $300, non-refundable. And that's just basically, you know, admin stuff. You talk to the girls in the office, we spent a good amount of time with you, getting everything ready. So that part's non-refundable. And then everything else is refundable 3 months out. So if you cancel 91 days or more out, we'll give you your full refund back. It is what it is. Things happen. You know, that gives us enough time to hopefully rebook that day. And then from there down, it goes 60 to 90 days out. You'll get, I should have pulled this up, but you'll get, I believe 35% of that 50% deposit back if it's 2 to 3 months out. And then from 30 days to 60 days, you're going to get 15% of that deposit back. And if you cancel 15 of your 50, right? So whatever that is, I'm not going to do math right here, but 15 of your 50. So like about a third of your deposit back. And then if you cancel within the last 30 days of your event, we are not going to give any deposit back. And that's just simply because the odds of us rebooking that date are just very slim to none. A lot of these, especially during wedding season, you book on a Saturday. We only take three events max on a Saturday. One, if it's real big, two decent sized ones. But if we have two okay ones and a third, you know, maybe house party, we'll do three events max in a day. So if we lose one of those, it hurts pretty bad. And I know there are circumstances and I know that there are reasons why things like this happens, and it's super unfortunate. And I don't want to just do a hard line of all our deposits are refundable. I know there's a ton of vendors out there that do that, but we feel like it's the most fair that if we have a better chance of rebooking that date, then we give you more of a deposit back. The closer we get, the chances of us rebooking that date in under 30 days is very rare. And it would be like a last minute thing on somebody else that we'd be saving the day, not something that we had well planned out and had everything going. So refunding is 60 to 90 days, 30 to 60 days, and then anything under 30, we keep that deposit. Now, if you want to reschedule an event, and it doesn't have to be a wedding, doesn't have to, like if you had a deposit down on a wedding and it's not going to happen, you could use that deposit for a future event. And this is what I was trying to touch on in the hurricane thing. So when hurricanes happen, things get postponed, but it doesn't necessarily have to be for like an emergency hurricane. If you don't want to lose any of your money and you still are able to get that deposit towards another event, we'll give you your full amount, like it's a deposit on any other event. So you can still have some sort of event. Maybe there's a, you know, big 50th anniversary coming up, or, you know, 80th birthday party or something. You always have that option to move your deposit and keep the full deposit and move that to a future date. And again, we try to just be as fair as possible with the work that we've put into things. And I think that that's the best situation that I've come up with. Now, if you guys have other ideas or something else that could work out, please leave a comment. I'm always in the market for learning and seeing people's opinions on things. And I just want to make sure that the business is healthy so that we can continue doing business for other people. And I know that in certain circumstances, it might be a little bit difficult, but I think that our policy is pretty fair. Moving on, let's go to how long does it take to get for staff to get set up and break down? Again, these are all questions that we get asked in the booking process. So it's once they get the proposal, or you know, they're just asking questions. So how long does it take to get staff to get set up and break down? So typically for most of our events, we do a mandatory 2 hours before your event start time is when we, and that doesn't matter if it's a giant event or a small house party. We give a minimum 2 hours, and that gives my staff enough time to unload the truck, get things organized, make sure everything's set up correctly, get the buffet set up, get the truck packed up and not looking crazy, and, you know, making sure that we're not hustling at the very end trying to, you know, rush to get everything done. So we do a mandatory 2 hours before. If it's a giant event, so we have an event coming up, I think in the beginning of December, where it's 350 people, plated, dual entree. They got, you know, raw bars and past hors d'oeuvres and set and placed hors d'oeuvres, and it's a pretty big thing. We'll probably have half of the staff come 3 hours before to just kind of get, because for that specific event, we're going to have to set up like an outdoor kitchen. So we'll probably add on one more hour for that. But again, it's a giant production. Most events are not giant productions. Even if it's 150, 200 people wedding, we do that all the time, and we still don't need more than 2 hours to set up. And again, rental companies and other vendors are setting up their tables and stuff. If we had to do that, we would have to add more time on. But again, since we don't offer the rentals, we kind of just let the rentals take care of their own stuff. So when our focus is just on food and service, we don't need as much time. But 2 hours is plenty of time for the chefs to get settled in, for bartenders to get their stuff set up and cut and ready to rock, and for the staff to be set up out there. So 2 hours minimum is what it takes to set up. And then we're starting and we're not all stressed out about it. So what are your overtime fees? So this is something that I know that I probably do different than most people. And I just think it's easier on everybody. I don't do any back billing. So what does that mean? That means that we've had plenty of time, months, weeks, you know, even a year to plan your event, which means that the end time is a hard exit time for us, and we do not leave staff behind, and we don't continue past our out time. Are there exceptions to this? Sometimes. We have some regular customers that were like small house parties that we've been to several times, and there are certain circumstances that we can talk about, but it's going to be a very special circumstance, and it's going to have to be with people that we've already known. But in general, we have a hard exit time, so we don't have overtime hours. No, a lot of other catering companies, they do. So if the event's supposed to end at 10 and the everybody wants the staff to stay till 12, they'll back bill them for another 2 hours. I don't want to do that. We've had plenty of time to plan this, especially if there's planners involved. And there should really be no reason why my staff should have to stay behind thinking they were going to be cut around 10. So the most fair thing I can do for my staff and the easiest thing I can do for the business is just no overtime fees, no staying behind. You know, if we're staying behind, it's because, you know, we're running late and the business pays for that time. But in general, if we have an out time of 10, that is a hard out time. That means we are cleaned up, ready to go, vans packed, all the staff is in their cars leaving at that time. So no overtime fees. We pay 14 days prior to your event. So you're paid in full 14 days prior. You're done, out of sight, out of mind. All you have to do is enjoy your party. The last thing I want to do is Monday morning, go back and see how much staff I had and then backbill everybody that's been done, you know, for their few hours of staff. It's just more friction in the business. And, you know, we try to do our due diligence leading up to your event that it should be a non-issue. So, all right, moving on. We're going to go to, when do you need final guest count? We need final everything 2 weeks prior. So a lot of times people have it to us a lot sooner, but 2 weeks prior to your event, well, 3 weeks prior to your event, you're going to get a little ding on your phone that says you got one more week to say, to make any changes. So 14 days prior to your event, your final guest count's due. And at that time, you're going to give us, you know, if you have any kids meals, vegan meals, dietary restrictions, you're going to give us all of that stuff at that time. We're going to put it in the notes for you and everything's going to be set and it's going to be easy and smooth and you'll be paid up. Final guest counts due 14 days out along with everything else, payment and everything, so that you can go into your wedding day or your event day or your birthday party or your anniversary or your quinceanera or whatever you're celebrating, knowing that you're just can go enjoy your event. You don't owe us anything. Okay. How many weddings do you do a year? So last year, every year, so I started this business 5 years ago, and every year we've grown a little bit more and more. So last year, I think our total was, we did around 120 events. So, catering, or I guess, no, hold on a second. So we did 167 total events. Yeah. And I think a little over 100 of them were weddings last year. This year, we've already booked that. We're in September, and we're already at 100 and something weddings. So I would assume it's November. I know we have at least 15 or 16 weddings in November. So I'm going to say this year, we're probably going to close out at around 130, 140 weddings, specifically weddings. We do other stuff too, but weddings in particular, we probably sit right around 130. How long have you been in business? I just answered that. I started in 2019. It's been 5 years. But before that, I was a head chef for another catering company and venue here in Fort Myers, Florida. And then before that, I was sous chef of another catering company before that for 2 seasons. So I think that was, so if we even five, so I was the third. Nine years ago is when I got my first catering job, but I'd already been cooking for like 15 years, restaurant chef, do all sorts of stuff. But yeah, 9 years catering, 5 years with this business, and I'm really excited to see where it's going. Can you cater to any venue? No, just because a lot of venues are hotels. The hotels have inside catering. And in my first video, I was talking about the two main types of catering, inside catering versus outside catering. It doesn't mean whether you're in a building or out in the elements. It just means that if you're in a venue and you have inside caterer, it means that there's one caterer that takes care of your events. And a lot of times it's the place that you're going to. So hotels, country clubs, some venues, they'll have inside catering and they handle their own stuff. And then other venues, some hotels offer outside catering, not a lot, but some hotels do. But a lot of venues do offer outside caterers. It's just something to talk to when you're, and depending on what you want, like some people like the hotel all-in-one package, less headache, everything's included, you know, one-stop shop for everything. That's great. Some people want to have a little bit more customizability. They want to have a little bit more say on what they have for food. Because the last thing you want to do is go to a hotel, try the food and go like, ooh, you know, I wish it could have been better, but you're locked in. There's nothing you can really do about it. Being at venues, usually you have preferred vendors list. And on that preferred vendors list, depending on where you're at, could be anywhere from 2 to 5 caterers. There's other stuff on that list, but we're talking catering. 2 to 5 caterers. And if you wanted to do a tasting with all 5, you're more than welcome to. And then a lot of places like community centers, community halls, they are pretty open to anybody coming in and you can have your pick of the area. So it's just something when you're venue hunting for your event, it's just something to ask if they have a preferred vendors list or if anybody can come in, just ask that up front. Though it's a pretty common question that nobody will ever get like weird about it or anything, but we have a ton of venues on our website that makes it really easy for people when they're booking, you know. And especially now after 5 years, we have some people who's like friends that we did their wedding or brothers or sisters, we did their wedding and they want to use us. So it's just kind of a tool. You can go on our website and see what venues we're in. I think there's 21 or 22 on there now. There's probably a few missing. And don't think that you can like book an Airbnb and have like some caterer come out. A lot of these Airbnbs, even if they're big, they have really strict like event policies, meaning no weddings, no parties, none of that stuff. So be careful too, because there are some Airbnbs and VRBOs that people have caterers to all the time, but having like an actual event that's going to be like 50, 60 or 100 people, they have pretty strict policies on that. So maybe that would be a good idea for a video in the future of venue types and maybe some Airbnb do's and don'ts, and I don't know, we'll see. But we can't cater to any venue. If you want a list of places where we can cater, give us a call or go on the website and it's right there for you. Do you have a license? And the next question, do you have a license to serve alcohol? Yes. So we have what's called a catering 13CT liquor license, which means we can serve you all the booze you want. Obviously, you know, there's stipulations to that and we have to follow the same rules that any bar or restaurant has to follow. We still have to ID people, and we have to carry the insurance for it. And so we have all the same regulations that everybody else does, but yes, we do have a liquor license. And I know what the next question is going to be. It's going to be about, do we have to provide the alcohol? No. So to have us provide the alcohol is completely up to you. depending on the venue that you're at, or if you're in a home, if you want to provide your own booze and have us just set up the bar and bartenders and us do our thing, you're more than welcome to do that. If you want us to supply it, you're more than welcome to have us supply it. It's really up to you and what you think is going to be the most value for your money. And a lot of people just don't want to deal with it. Now we have lists and stuff. If you do want to supply your own alcohol and the venue allows it, you can ask the girls in the office and they'll send you kind of like a cheat sheet. It's not perfect, but mostly because everybody's events are different, but essentially it's what we would pack for your event should we have done the alcohol, and at least give you kind of an idea of how much to get, because we've done weddings where they've gone crazy overboard and they don't even go through a quarter of the alcohol. And we've done weddings where people are making beer runs, you know, not even halfway through cocktail hour. So it's good to know kind of a starting point. And also, we always tell people that good places to buy, if in your area they have Costco or Total Wine, any unopened bottles from those two places, whether it's wine or liquor, they'll take them. You can return them. So if you buy, you know, 10 handles of vodka and you only go through two, you return the other eight. It's not a big deal. So Total Wine and Costco will do that for you. So that was the alcohol question. We're getting through these, guys. Can we create our own menu for the event? I think we went through that a little bit earlier about when we were talking about the packages. You can absolutely create your own menu for the event. It'll probably take a few things. The best idea is if you have a couple, or the quickest way for you to get some, like a curated menu, probably wouldn't be for you to just list out a bunch of random stuff you saw on Pinterest. It would probably be giving my staff maybe a couple dishes for inspiration or a style. Like, we get people that say, we want to do a Hawaiian luau barbecue, or we want to do a fiesta taco night, or, you know, that kind of thing. So you want to give us something to work with without given us like exactly, you know, 15 menu items, because we can do quite a bit of stuff, but we also have to keep in mind the flow of our operating procedures. So if we just throw a bunch of stuff in there that's a one-off that we've never done before, you know, the quality might not be as good as stuff that we've done several times in the past, and we don't want to set ourselves up to give anything but the best quality. So working with your caterer on that, having a little leniency in the menu so you're not like hard set on these exact menu items will definitely make the process go a lot better, and it's going to make your event go a lot better on the other end, because now you're trusting us, the professionals that do this all the time, to give you a product that we're comfortable doing, that we know is going to impress, versus what people see on Google and Facebook and Instagram, and they're like, you know, can you do this, and it's some, you know, it's going to take me 30 minutes to make like one dish and it's going to be 300 people. Just sometimes it doesn't work out, but you can absolutely create your own menu. But the best way to go about it is to just kind of give us inspiration the same way we give you inspiration. And then we work something out that we're both happy with, and you have an awesome event with awesome food that you had the part in creating. Do you have options for dietary restrictions? Yes, that's it. Yes. You know, as we try to keep it in as simple as possible, but obviously people have allergies. I wouldn't go crazy with it and, you know, give us a list of 17 things Uncle Simon is allergic to. But if you have vegetarians, vegans, gluten-free people, pescatarians, you know, whatever it is, you just let us know. We're happy to help with that. And if we can't help you, we'll tell you. But I can't think of a time in the near history where we couldn't do a dietary or restricted meal for people. Do you offer buffet style package, sit down, or what's the price difference? So yes, that's kind of a weird question, actually. Do you offer buffet style package, sit down? What is the price difference? Sit down. Don't you always have to sit down when you're eating? I don't know. Who wrote this? Who's the guy that wrote this? Anyways, so it probably means, do we offer buffet style versus plated? Yes, 99% of it, what we do can be either or buffet style or plated. If you do a plated, the only caveat is the food's going to be exactly the same price, but we have to spike the number of people serving it. So your staff's going to be a little bit more, or in some cases, if it's a large wedding, it's going to be quite a bit more if you do a plated. But yeah, the price of the food between plated and buffet, we don't raise the price on that. I know other people do. Doesn't make sense to me, but we do have to come up on the staffing amount. So typically if it's a single entree plated meal, we'd probably add four staff members on there for like around 100 people, probably add like four staff members, four or five max. If it's a double entree, it's going to be like six or seven people, just because kind of like each thing needs a person. But yeah, the price of the food will be the same. So, and again, through the proposal process, it's absolutely okay to ask these questions. It's absolutely sick. You have your price to say, well, how much more is it going to be to make this plated? You know, it's not a big deal to just give you a real quick number on that. Next, do you have dessert options? Yes, we don't do cakes. So sorry, we can provide like a small cake, right? So I have chefs. I don't have, you know, bakers and people that specialize in wedding cakes. There are a ton of really great bakers in the area. I trust them to do that. I don't want to get involved in that. I love being a chef. I love making desserts, but cakes have never been my specialty. And there's people that only that's all they do. So I would trust a person that specializes in something, especially when it's something as important as your wedding cake. But we have a ton of other stuff. And over the last few years, we've kind of seen this switch in weddings where we're not seeing all the big cakes like we used to. We still are seeing them, but I would say half of the time, we're probably only seeing like maybe a cake topper or like, you know, 6 or 8 inch cake that has some decoration on it to give the bride and groom something to cut. And then after that, it'll be, you know, mini desserts or petit fours, mini cupcakes, regular size cupcakes. And there's a ton of stuff, you know, we do mousse shooters and mini, like we have a ton of stuff. So if you wanted to do something like that, we could absolutely provide the desserts for you. But if you want like some tiered wedding cake or that's not our thing. But we know people. So if you did want that, we could just send you to those people that we know. And they're really great. Really great people. Can you cut our wedding cake? Yeah. So if you do get a tiered cake or a sheet cake, or that's another thing people do, they just put a small cake out, just cut it for the picture. And then they have a sheet cake in the back that the guest never really sees. And that's something that we'll take care of in the back. There's a ton of ways to get your guests fed something sweet, but yeah, we don't charge anything for that. I know there's cake cutting fees at a ton of places. I don't know. I don't get it. Maybe that's money on the table that I'm not taking advantage of. We always have the stuff in the truck to do it. We're more than happy to help. After dinner, there's usually, you know, at least a couple staff people that I can break away to help do the cake cutting. And we're happy to take care of that for you guys at no extra charge. But again, it's good to let us know that ahead of time, because God forbid we don't have the stuff in the truck, but we typically do. But if we don't have the cake cutter and stuff in the truck, we'll make sure to get it in there. And we'll at least get it in our timeline so that the staff knows that there's going to be a cake cutting at X time. What options of linens, glassware, plates, and flatware do you have? So we only offer, I'll say this, for larger events, we only offer one style of plates and flatware. We have just like white coupe plates. They're like rimless. They're not like the 1 inch wide rim like you see everywhere. It's just like a nice, you know, coupe style plates. We have salad and dinner size of those, and then plain silverware. Everything's nice. It's not going to be Luna Classic or some other high-end silverware, but for that stuff, we would send you directly to the rental company, and they would be more than happy to get you some custom plates and flatware. If it's a small event, I'm talking like 6 to 10 people, maybe 15 people, we have clear dinner plates and salad plates, and we have some square, nice dinner plates that are really nice. But a lot of that stuff's just going to be, you know, chef's dinners and private chef dinners where we're going to dictate the plates anyways. And for the most part, you should let the chefs and caterers dictate which plates to use, just because some plates look nice when they're empty, but then when they're full of food, they just kind of look like messy and crazy, like old 70s floral plates. And yeah, not my thing. I like a plain white plate to make something nice and colorful, and so that your food doesn't get kind of just washed into the design of the plate. So that's what we have for ours. Glassware, we have water goblets. Again, just a regular water goblet. No, I don't have one around here, but regular water goblet. So it's got like a wine base, short stem, and then on like a water goblet like that. And then again, plain white wine glasses. You're going to see that most places, even with rental companies. The more custom like wine glasses is not that common. I'm not saying you can't get it, but just in general, you know, not a lot of big events are doing a wine glass on the table now anyways, because most people are able to get their drinks at the bar. And if people want to do real glass at the bar, we're making them get two or three times each kind of glass. So if you have 100 people, one of our stipulations say if you want to do real glass behind the bar, if the venue even allows, because a lot of places don't want like broken glass all over the floor, because people drop it during party hour. Well, if you have 100 people, we're going to make you get 200 minimum of each style. So wine, rocks, highball, whatever glasses that you want, we're going to make you get double, because we don't really have a dishwasher on site. And people change up their drinks. So if you have 50 people that their first drink is a mixed drink and a rocks glass, and they want to switch to wine for dinner, there's two glasses right there for that one person. Three counting the water goblet. So if you are going to do real glassware behind the bar, just, you know, keep in mind that you're not in a restaurant, you're out on site somewhere, and we have to account for that kind of stuff. It's not super expensive, but you know, it still added an extra few $100 that maybe you could save by just letting the bar be in like plastic cups. And our cups are just normal, like 9-ounce little tumblers, clear tumblers. They're not like ugly or anything. They just, it's exactly what you're thinking about right now. If you go to a bar at a wedding, that cup that they give you, that's exactly what we have. And did I get everything right there? Almost through this. Buffet, dessert, cake. No. Linens, we don't provide linens. That's it. We can send you to the place that can provide linens, but we don't provide linens. We do provide like linens and spandex and stuff for our buffet tables. But if you have a color scheme, you're more than welcome to get the same color scheme for our banquet tables for our buffet. But yeah, since we don't provide any of that, the big stuff like tables or chairs, anything like that, then you guys would be responsible for the linens. And we're always responsible for our stuff. So anything that we have to have, buffet tables, beverage station, bars, all that stuff, we have linens for all of that stuff. But if you want a certain color or style, then it would be up to you to get that from whoever you're getting the rest of your linens from. So, all right. Do you have other supplies to rent? So right now, the only things we really have to rent, we have a couple different bars, nothing like super extravagant, but super clean bars, you know, that we use. And we just started doing a mobile espresso bar, which is really fun. And we have this little like 1995 Japanese Honda Acti van, and it's super cool. I will try to do a video on that coming up soon, because I want to do something special for that, so that we can see, because we want to do a mobile espresso and liquor out of it. It just depends on what you want. And that's more meant to be a prop anyways. So you can rent that. Any other supplies that are available to rent for us, we're pretty self-sufficient. So you're not really going to need anything that's, unless you want something specific yourself for a prop. I know there's a couple businesses in town that specialize in, like, you know, lace couches and rugs and maybe rattan furniture, you know, to give you that kind of look at your wedding, but we don't do any of that stuff. Our primary focus is service and food. And then we have a couple other things, on top of that, but we don't really get into like the specialty rentals in that area. But we absolutely have people in town that we know that are friends with us that we can send you to that have everything. Does your crew clean up after the event? Of course. yeah, I don't, if you're hiring a caterer and they're not cleaning up after themselves, it's kind of defeats the purpose of hiring a caterer. So before we leave, if it's like at a venue or something, we'll do final rounds. Every venue has its own set of rules. Some venues have maintenance people that are there the whole time, kind of helping clean up. Some venues have nobody there and we're responsible for cleaning up. You know, we're versed in the places that we're going. So we'll, before we leave, we'll make sure to do one final round. At least when we're contracted out, usually we're contracted to the end of the event, but in some cases we're not contracted to the event, end of the event. So before we leave, and if the party's still going on, we'll do our best due diligence to go around, making sure that garbages are empty, make sure tables are cleaned off, making sure our stuff's loaded up and back kitchen areas are all cleaned and swept up. And, you know, we like to just leave no evidence that we were ever even there. If we're in a home and we're doing a private chef event or a cocktail party, we'll make sure, you know, all your counters are wiped down and floor swept and oven and microwave and everything's all cleaned and shiny. And again, no evidence. We try to take out all the trashes so that you don't know we were ever there. You just enjoyed your event and, you know, there shouldn't really be a ton of cleanup after at all. Really, there shouldn't be any cleanup after you hire a caterer to come in and serve you. So next is, what do you do with leftover food? So our policy reads that leftover food is not guaranteed. And just why that is we don't want to go into the assumption that there's going to be leftovers and that it's those leftovers are the property of the customer. That's not really what's paid for. What's paid for is you ordered food for X amount of people and X amount of people ate. If there's leftovers, that means that we wanted to make sure that we didn't run out of food. And that's kind of our insurance policy to make sure you have a smooth event. So not saying that we don't like leaving leftovers because we're going to toss them anyways, but how it reads in our contract is that we'll just disperse leftovers to vendors and then my staff will get a chance to take something. Then we'll give that. Then we'll ask the customer, you know, if they have any Tupperware or boxes or anything, and we're happy to box it up for them. We just have to put that disclaimer in there because we used to get calls, you know, we ordered this food, we saw this food, and you guys stole our food. And it becomes like this really uncomfortable situation with the customer when they like had a great event and then they're off put by, they think that we stole something when really wasn't theirs to begin with. You know, it's like going to a restaurant, you know, they have all this prep in the back kitchen and you got your one meal. You're not entitled to the prep in the back kitchen. So it's the same exact thing. At a catering, we have all this food out. And again, it's a liability thing too. So technically the food after sitting out for X amount of time, we can't use it anyway. So we're not taking it back to the kitchen. So there's never a scenario where like, we don't want to give the food to you, but my staff also deserves to eat. And I want to make sure my staff is happy and taken care of and wants to come to work. And, you know, they're not working 8 or 9 hours without being able to enjoy some dinner or lunch or whatever time of day we catered. So we have to just put that disclaimer in there to make sure that people understand that, you know, you bought 50 meals. Now, whatever those were, could be a cocktail party, could be a dinner, whatever it was, you bought 50 meals, 50 people showed up, we fed them. Anything on top of that is extra and we're happy to leave it if we have it, but I never want to open up that it's expected because really that's not what was paid for, you know? And I think that's the most fair way to kind of describe that situation because we get it quite a bit now. So now that it's in the contract, it's becoming a lot easier to explain to people, but there's a lot of times where, you know, people are old school and they think they paid for something and they don't have really an understanding of what they paid for. And just because something came into their home, they think they're entitled to keep it. You know, I hate having those situations with people because I try to be as upfront as possible and I try to be clear about things and I try to explain things in a way that's easy to understand, that is not going to get taken the wrong way. you know, but when it comes to leftover food, that's our insurance policy. Had we not had that food, we would have, you know, run the risk of running out, and nobody wants that. And we don't want, knock on wood, we never have run out of food. And that's just because I would rather spend the extra money making more than what we needed for your event versus trying to save a little bit and then possibly running out and making us look bad and not prepared. So, you know, that's, it's kind of a sticky situation, but it really shouldn't be. There to take care of your guests, however many there are. And there are situations where, you know, some guests don't show up and you paid for 50 people and 40 don't show up, you know, and might get a lot of hate for this or whatever, but that's not the caterer's responsibility. Their job was to come in and feed your guests. And again, we're happy to leave the leftovers. We're not going to do anything with them. So if there are plenty of leftovers, we're going to leave them for you. It's not a big deal. We just don't want there to be an unspoken expectation that you will have this, especially for plated meals. You know, that's the craziest one for me, is that we do a plated meal for 20 people, 20 people show up. And of course we make extra because shit happens. Somebody drops something on the floor or whatever. We need to be prepared for that. Whether it doesn't happen very often, but we still need to be prepared for that. So if 20 people ate and then some people are like, well, where's our leftovers? It's like, well, you got a 20 person plated meal and I fed you guys 20 plated meals. So I don't know what you're talking about. But I don't know. Being a business owner is full of surprises. So, but we're not going to keep it for ourselves. We're happy to give it to you. You know, it's fine. Just as long as my staff gets taken care of too. We're almost through there, guys. We're almost through there. What does your crew clean up after the event? I think we kind of went over that already. Just a recap. We like there to be no evidence that we were ever there. Do you provide bartenders? Yep, covered that already. We have full liquor. We offer bar staff. If you already have a bar in your house and it's already fully stocked and you just need a bartender to come and sling drinks, we can do that. We can provide ice. We can provide cups and napkins and straws and all that stuff. Bar garnish. Just depends on what you need. So that part's completely customizable. We have stuff where we do full service. We provide everything, including the liquor, cups, napkins, straws, bartender, everything. And then there's sometimes where you have everything and you just need a bartender. No problem. We can do that either way. We already touched on this next one too. Do we require that we provide the alcohol or the customer, or can the customer provide alcohol? We don't care. That's up to you. We're happy to provide the alcohol. We have three different levels of our bar. We have a well, a call, and a premium. The well is exactly that. It's a well. You're probably not going to know the brands because they're cheap. And then we have a call, and that you're going to know all the brands because it's going to be all the, you know, common stuff. And then you're going to have a premium, and they're all going to be, again, common premium brands. And that's on our website too, if you wanted to check that out. What's your per beverage charge? We don't really have a per beverage charge. So I want to say our well bars, we do all you can drink bars. It's just easier for us. So our per cost on our well is $30 a person, I believe, or it's 25 or 30. I can't remember. Between 25 or $30. And then our call bar is between 30 and 35. God, I can't remember this. And you know what? Give me a second. So stupid. I'm sitting right on a computer. Boom. All right. So Boom. Share. Nice. All right. So this is our website. Maybe I'll do another podcast on this now that I just figured out I can share this. But this is the bar liquor service right here. And so these are all our different bar packages. We got a Bellini bar. Beer and wine is 20. Well bar is 25. See, I wasn't off. Call bar is 30. And premium bar is 35 per person. These all include 4 hours of liquor service. And again, I'm very upfront and clear about my prices. So if you wanted to add another hour or 2 hours of any of these bar services, it's literally the $35. Like if you don't want to add it, it's that divided by four. And then I added another hour of that charge on there. I'm not trying to pull fast on anybody. It's just easier for everybody. And then these are bar setups with no alcohol. So we'll bring everything to do the bar. And then you guys would bring all the booze. Basic beverage station, we put on almost everything. That's just water, iced tea, lemonade. You know, there's a ton of stuff. You know, give the website a check out. But those are our bar packages. And then we also have some other stuff, like we have that's not listed here. There are let me stop sharing that. And boom. So there are some other add-ons, like if you want to do like margaritas, like blended drinks, or you wanted to do like, we call, I think it's the Island Bar package is what it's called. And that'll have like your pina colada mix and some sour and margaritas and stuff to make daiquiris. So, and then if you wanted to do custom drinks, you can do custom drinks too. We do it. We do it all the time. Oh, you guys get that per beverage charge? $25 For it goes well, call premium, 25, 30, 35 per person, and it's all you can drink. What brands of alcohol do you serve? Aye, that's a hard one, at least to remember. Again, like I said before, the wells are just going to be like your well, like Canadian dry and that kind of stuff. The call bar is going to be Bacardi, Smirnoff, Jack Daniels, Beefeater, Jose. And those are going to be like your rum, whiskey, vodka, tequila, gin. And then the premium is going to be Mountain Gay rum, Ketel One vodka, Bullet bourbon, Bombay, and Patron. And then with all of those comes, you get also beers in there. So you get two domestic beers, one import. So it would be like, you know, Miller Lite or Bud Light or Michelob Ultra. Those are like your domestics, common domestics, not craft. So we don't do craft because the price jump from craft is sometimes three or four times the cost. And then not all crafts are available in all places, and not all crafts are available throughout the whole year. So we just don't want that headache. So common domestics, common imports would be, you know, what is it? Heineken, Corona, we'll see there, Tecate. Dosakis are imports, right? Yeah. Stuff like that. So common beers. And then wines, you don't really get to choose the brand on the wines because there's like too much out there, but you get to choose your style. So whether it's Pinot Grigio, Cabernet, whatever you really want. If you wanted to add champagne, you could. If you want to do a champagne toast, you could. You know, there's a ton of ways to customize your event. It just depends on how detailed you want to be, and or if you just want to say, hey, can you guys give us this, this, and this, and this? And then we shoot your proposal. You say, great, boom, you're done. So hopefully that answers some of your bar questions. Do you offer coffee and tea services? Yes. So coffee, we've always offered coffee services, and I've always been like a weird coffee stickler, and I hate that big giant vat of coffee that you see at every catered event. I hate it. So we, even though they might not look as good to people, we do K-cups, and then everybody gets to choose, and everybody gets a fresh cup of coffee. If they want to do decaf, they can. I don't have to bring a whole vat of decaf just sitting there for two people. And then I don't have coffee sitting in an urn getting sour because it's ew. You gross. So, and then, the new stuff. So this last year, when we built out our catering facility, we actually built a coffee shop because it's always been something I wanted to do. So we actually own a coffee shop too. And with that, we needed to start doing, I have a thing right here, mobile espresso bar right there. And then we got some packages back there. Pretty cool. So we actually do a full espresso bar too. So we'll bring like a standalone espresso machine, like a commercial one, and we could do, you know, lattes and cappuccinos and iced drinks. That's another option for coffee. Again, we have the little coffee truck if you wanted to rent that. What else do we do at coffee? Oh, we do the iced coffee bar, which is super fun. We added on last year, saw it on some video, and I was like, I think we can do that. So the iced coffee bar is going to come with essentially like cold brew concentrate that we make. And then you're going to get, you know, your flavored syrups and your creams, and it's kind of like a do it yourself thing, and you can mix and match and add your stuff in there, and just kind of a fun thing, especially here in Florida. Not everybody wants a freaking hot cup of coffee. So the iced coffee bar is done well, and it's super fun, and it always goes over super, super well with guests. What does our staff wear? Okay. So setup shirts are going to be, actually they're going to be these shirts. Or a gray shirt that's similar to this is the setup wear. Just make sure everybody looks presentable during setup. And then during your event, everybody's in black, all black. So we got black button-ups, black pants, black shoes, no ankles showing or capris or leggings or any of that's allowed. You know, I try to keep everybody real professional looking. Plus, I want everybody to be able to distinguish a staff person from a guest. So if my staff is in all black, you know, not saying that people don't dress like that, but it's pretty easy to spot a staff person if they're wearing like a button down shirt and black slacks and black shoes, their hair pulled back. And actually there's tons of pictures on the internet. Just Google it. We have, I guess this is our last question. It's kind of an odd last question because it's not very good, but it says, can I see pictures of events that you've done in the past? Yeah. And I guess these are all questions that customers are asking us through the proposal process. I just forgot what I was saying. Sorry, brain fart. Last one. All right. Can you see pictures of stuff that we've done in the past? Yeah. This is 2024. It's pretty simple. All you got to do is type in Saver First Choice Catering and our website pops up, and then we have a gallery and we have a ton of pictures there. You can look us up on Google. We have a ton of pictures in Google. There's been a few write-ups, Gulf Shore Business, and a couple, actually this thing that we got written up in, but this doesn't show like a ton. This is just, I don't know. We did this photo shoot during COVID to keep everybody busy. And where are we at? Come on, baby. No, we're right. Can't remember where we are in here. Here we go. So this was like a thing we did during COVID. This is so a couple place settings and some cool cakes and table settings. This is like some stuff that we did. This is the rental company that we use all the time. They're the ones that provide all this kind of stuff. But yeah, there's tons of stuff on the internet out there. So you just got to search it and we're there. Instagram doesn't have a ton, but it does. Facebook doesn't have a ton, but it does. You know, you just got to just Google it. And I suggest you do that with everybody. If you're going to go and get hire a catering company and there's like no evidence of their catering out there, probably shouldn't hire them. Right. Or at least don't hire them with any certain expectations. You know, you want people, we're in the future. Right. We're in the future. And the future means that everybody is Googleable, which is a word. So just Google it. But all right, we got through it. That was a ton. But again, I was doing this because I'm going to hire somebody on staff. And these are a ton of questions that we get on a regular basis. And I'm going to turn this into kind of a worksheet. And so when people do ask these questions, my new staff person on the phone can be like, oh, that's what we say when we get asked that question. So if you guys have any other questions that you think people should ask, or if you have any questions for me personally, leave them in the comments, send me a message. I'm pretty easily accessible. You know, on Instagram, we have, obviously my personal Instagram is Chef Matt Geiger. And then we have the Saver First Choice Catering website, or Instagram and website. We have the Saver Coffee website and Instagram. And then we have this podcast, Instagram and Facebook. The website's not published yet. If you just type it in, it's going to go to the catering one. So we're getting there. I'm getting a little bit more used to it. I got to get some more things in a row, but just getting used to talking to you all. And again, leave me any questions or comments or reach out. If you want to be on the podcast, that would be great. I'd love to talk to you, even if you're not a wedding professional, even if you're just someone that's interested in business or interested in being a different kind of vendor, just reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you. But for now, thank you for listening to the Saver F&B podcast, and I'm out. Have fun, everybody.